on the Great Plains, and there's a point in the middle of the country that is as far away from oceans as there is. That point in New York State, where the coldest winters known to mankind,
okay,
is Center Tendency, Lake Moraine, and Colgate University. If you go to Colgate, you have nothing to do but sit in bars and study, because it's like from November 1 out to February 28, it's freezing. Our next guest survived Colgate, and then he survived trading at Bear Stearns.
Oh, he had a high
yield. Which was a world unto its own. Ace had the buy tickets here and the sell tickets here. And, you know, it was a, it, you know, if you survived Bear Stearns, why don't you bring in our esteemed guest who survived the world of Ace Greenberg and Alan Schwartz?
Art DeGaetano, founder and CIO of Bramshill Investments. I mean, you know what you missed, Tom, is that Art went to Don Bosco Prep, a proper New Jersey, Bergen County prep school. You know, I'm a public school guy. I went to Fort Lee Public High School. But Art, thank you for joining us. I have to ask you, and I know the answer to this already. You talk about fixed income as active asset management, and people say it's dead. And then I look at the numbers of the Bramshill Income Fund, 12.8% over the last 5 years to the plus. The ag, just Tom, the ag, down 7.6%. I mean, you want to talk about outperformance.
1,900 basis points.
Artie, talk to us about Bramshill. Talk to us about your strategy, how you keep things sane and how you keep things sane in a very, very, very challenging market.
Yeah, thank you for having me today. You know, I'd say it's really all about prep work, and we don't really look at benchmarks. So if you look at last year, we weren't with the spirit of the market when everyone was talking about recession, inverted yield curves, and getting long duration. We were probably about 40% in short-term treasuries. And then November, December, we put about $1.5 billion to work. So very much get prepared for different dislocations in asset classes, different securities, structures, not afraid to put capital to work. So to your point, it probably looks like we're good market timers. It's really just more waiting for the fatter pitches and right. then not being afraid
so
to allocate.
So it's the Juan Soto view.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, yeah. Look, he's still very, I mean, I think 50% of the book is still in credit, right? IG and high yield. But I would love for you to inform our audience about the preferred asset class, because I know what an alpha generator that's been for you. And I know what an alpha generator it can be for a lot of people, but it is an illiquid asset class, is it not?
So it's interesting. Most fixed income managers, I think, trade it as an addendum. It's about an $850 billion market. Yeah. You know, we're definitely an active player there. What's great about that market is all the different structures. You can go fixed, long, perpetual. You can go fixed to float. There's just different ways to express your view. You almost can actually build an interest rate hedge
right.
Into an allocation without being short.
I was yesterday outside Bloomingdale's, and I was looking at the Chanel bag section. It was a bad thing to do. And I looked across the street at a skyscraper that is reported to going out at an 83% discount to what it was bought at in 2015. Where's your opportunity in real estate? Is it CMBS? Is it something archaic? Is it vanilla? How do you play the deep discounts of commercial real estate?
So two things. We've done a significant amount of prep work on the regional banks. The fulcrum part of that cap structure, in our opinion, is the 5 to 7 year senior unsecured. We wouldn't touch the preferreds here, but very interesting. Even if you do analysis on the top 20 banks, a lot of the loans have been written down. And if you think about a $100 million building that was issued to the banks, maybe the first $60 million was at the bank level. Now that building's $50 million, needs refurbishing, there's 50% occupancies. Mm-hmm. It's not going to take a dramatic haircut, in our opinion, but where we would be investors is in the senior unsecured debt. We also have a structured products team that sits about four buildings from PIMCO in Newport Beach. They've been buying 65 LTV, 3-4 year, 8% paper on all new builds. So if you think about properties that were built in 2020, 21, they already have price appreciation. Plus where we are in the cap structure, you know, we feel at 8% okay. over 3-4 years, we win. versus buying lower parts
Damian,
of cap structure.
I want you to jump in here, but folks, what you're hearing here is an adult and pro discussion about the tranches of debt that's out there. I'm not going to translate it to save time, but Damian will be holding.
Well, here's what I have to ask. I mean, I want to just, for our audience, so you understand, you know, Art and Bramshill, they're not using leverage. They're not shorting any paper. They're not using synthetics. You know, they're using the actual market and the structures that are offered and on, you know, available to investors to manage their duration risk, to manage their spread risk. So talk to us about how you do that, how you use those structures specifically in this environment, right? I mean, duration risk is all the rage, right? I mean, especially year to date. So talk to us a little bit about how you look at duration in this environment.
Sure. So we don't manage to duration or a specific yield or a target. So when I say prep work, I'll give you a good example. Last year, we did work on an allocation for a year and sat on it. It was long duration IG. So across 25 different credits, we 3.25% to 4% coupons. These were 65 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
If you run a 3.25% coupon issued in 21, run it up 300 basis points, that's where it is. Even though those were 30-year duration, that entire basket was about an 8.5 duration and very positively convex. So when we think about, I bought Oracle debt, 62 cents on the dollar, 690 yield.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about that defaulting.
All right, so, you know, I want to tear up the script here, Tom. I'm going to steal one from you. You know, you're the founder and you're the CIO of Bramshill. You know, you started this company however many years ago. You know, you're not BlackRock, but how challenging in today's day and age with all that goes on in running an asset management firm, a mid-sized one at that, to you know, grow the business. I mean, you have a huge staff now, and to also run the portfolio and to, you know, live up to your fiduciary responsibility to your investors. Talk to us about that tug of war a bit.
Well, to comment from what Tom Keener mentioned earlier, growing up in Ace Greenberg land, I don't think you can run an investment firm from a boardroom or from a glass office. So all the offices, I sit on the trading desk, highly active on the investment team. And, you know, I have clients, I'm sure like a lot of people, 10 months, 11 months, you don't hear much.
Right.
And then the 1 month you lose 1%, everyone's going, what's going on? So we're very disciplined on all of our allocations.
Art, thank you so much. Art, you can come with us today here. Really good. We'll get him in again with Damian.